ready?
How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Mr. Joe, with the Youth Force Chronicles podcast, a podcast for teens by teens. And today I have some guests here with me. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And so I have here with me.
Hi, my name is Emma.
And I am Ethan.
They are our Youth Force members. Youth Force is a program that helps our students to find the jobs and careers they're going to be passionate about for the life, for the things when they get out of high school. And so we have them here being our guests, but we also have a special guest here. He comes all the way from Auburn, Alabama, from one of the largest high schools there. And he has 21 years of teaching experience. And he's also a comedian and getting somewhat TikTok famous now these days. Ooh. And so we have Mr. Claiborne Cox.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
So glad to have you here. You doing all right today?
Yes, I am doing all right. My family, we have three daughters, and of course, my wife, and they all either have or are just recovering from the flu. All three daughters had 102 temperature today. So today I am doing great. Tomorrow, who can say? Who knows?
Oh, for sure. Who knows? Honestly. Well, I hope they get to feeling better. I'm glad that they're getting better today for sure.
One of them's recovering. The others, we'll see. One day at a time, right? So oh, for I hope sure. you guys are doing a little bit better than we are.
Oh, for sure. Well, so to get the show started, I have a story for everyone here. And Mr. Claiborne, would you care to just chime in on your thoughts on it too?
Of course.
So this story comes from more or just less just friendship advice. And it's titled, I'm not your friend because I want to be. We just share the same interest. It says, hi, I've been playing video games and random stuff with one of my closest friends for 1 year now. Across this entire time, he has severe anger management issues and often would yell at me for performing below his expectations in a game, or just blame me for something that's his fault, or find something that was completely out of control and pin it on me. Recently, during an online tournament in a video game, he came out with this, I'm not your friend because I want to be. Understand this is toxic behavior. Oh, sorry, I jumped a gun. Let me backtrack. I'm not your friend because I want to be. You're just the only one who plays the same games as me. I understand this is toxic behavior and I should stop playing with him. And I've tried to tell him how I feel and always his response is, I don't care. Additionally, he's right. He's the only one who plays the same games that I do as most of my friends have moved on to outside activities as we age. Which really just isn't my thing as an autistic introvert. I'm scared to stop talking to him because sometimes I genuinely do have fun and we have a good time, but I feel as if he just hates me 24/7, yet still plays with me. What should I do? What are your thoughts on that? Oh, if y'all don't want to, it's fine. I'm okay with the silence. What are your thoughts on that? Friendship these days, honestly.
I think it always evolves around like video games now, and I guess the anger thing can be like kind of annoying, and like it can be like really hard to like know if they're your friend or not. But I think like if you don't feel comfortable, you shouldn't like be friends with them, I guess, or like watch how much you talk to them and stuff.
Yeah.
For me, if you do have fun most of the time, and it's just those few moments.
Are you talking to the mic? I couldn't hear you for a second.
I said, if you usually have most of the time have fun with the guy, and it's just those small moments, just say, it's not me, it's this game. It's not me. It's you with this game. It's not me.
It's not me. That's the problem. It's you.
Yeah.
Mr. Claiborne, what do you think with friendships and that people are going through now in schools these days? What's the best way that you think they should navigate?
Oh, man. The relationships are complex little entities. You know, it's difficult to maneuver sometimes. I would probably ask some advice from trusted adults who have a more robust understanding of the situation than I do, given the little thumbnail information that we had there. But I mean, certainly treat the guy with kindness, but sometimes relationships are, you can't just bulldoze them and keep them going forever if there's not some kind of seed of true friendship there. And so it may be potentially time to tactfully disengage and find maybe another little buddy with more things in common. Our daughters, one has a great neighborhood friend who they do have a lot in common, and one has several church friends, and that's the relationships that they pour the most into is the ones that seem to be somewhat reciprocal, you know?
Right.
So,
oh, that's very important. Well, that's our story for the day. Now it's time to move on to some other stuff. Before we get into our meat and potatoes of our show, I do have a quick question for you. Kids, if you don't know or haven't seen them on TikTok, I just have to bring this to attention. What's up with corn?
Okay. All right. Well, I did not expect that to be question number one coming out the gates, but okay, here we go. So do you want to know what up is the thing with corn? Do you want to know it?
Yes.
All right. Well, so here's what happened. So like 18 years ago, I've been a teacher. This is my 21st year. Like 18-ish years ago, just let that soak in. How old are you, Ethan and Emma?
13.
Okay. So much longer than you've been alive, this thing has been going. Okay. So there's this kid named Josh, and now he's a successful professional, which, you know, fine. Good for you, Josh. Notice the tone that I say his name with. Did I put some mustard on his name? Yes, I did, intentionally.
Oh, that's
I don't
fair.
Just call him Josh. I call him Josh. You see what I'm saying? You see the distinction? Okay. So Josh, one day, out of the blue, he raises his hand and he said, there's squirrels all around. But if you see me looking around, there was a squirrel when you were telling that story up on my porch. And I thought, I'm going to have to throw something at the squirrel to let it know that I'm here. Okay. So back to the corner. I'm not making this up. There was a squirrel there. I can hear it. Okay. So, okay. Now I said, you like corn? Mr. Kosh, you like to eat corn? I was like, no, I don't like it. And so that's all he needed. He needed that one little nugget of something to pop into my brain. And for the next 18 years, that kernel literally has borne fruit in my brain. And so the other teenagers, they found out all the time. There's no end to these. Like I could go on forever. I will just, for the sake of time, I will restrain. But they'll like Photoshop me. And they'll often, like commonly, like recently, there's a girl in my class. There was a picture of me and my wife when we got married like 15 years ago, and they take her face out and replace it with corn. You can't do that. You can't do that. When I had my new baby, we have three little girls. When we had our baby, they drew a picture of me, and it was like a really good drawing. But instead of holding like a little baby, I was just holding a piece of C-O-R-N, I don't even want to say the word, with a face. It was just like a faced piece of, you know what, it's all the time. All the time, things like that. Moms have gotten involved now. Like sometimes a parent will find something like a little plush piece of corn, you know, with a little, you know, a little stuffed right. animal face
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they'll give it to their children to give to me. I don't need that in my life. I want a gift card. You gave the teacher across the hallway a gift card. Why don't you not give me a gift card? I don't want that janky little thing that you just gave me. So it's all the time. That's basically-
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry to bring up past memories.
Well, look, you started this, I Mr. know. Joe.
I intend to go further with
it. Wow, Mr. Joe.
Oh man. Well, Josh, if you ever see this one day, we're going to find you. And we're going to bring all the corn to your house and we're going to make popcorn.
Oh yeah.
We're going to fill your house with popcorn.
You treat all the guests like this, Mr. Joe?
Say that one more time.
First of all, I like popcorn. Here's the distinction.
Oh, okay.
Here's the thing. Okay. So a caterpillar, it goes into a cocoon or, you know, chrysalis, whatever. And it comes out a beautiful butterfly. That
right.
butterfly used to be a caterpillar. Not anymore. It's a butterfly now. It was something. Now it's something else, right?
Yeah.
Popcorn used to be corn, but now it's got its act together. It's been rehabilitated. And now it's popcorn. It's beautiful.
That's one way to put it.
That's fair. That's very fair. Does anybody have any other questions before we move on? We won't talk about corn again, I promise. Maybe.
We'll see. I don't really trust you anymore, to be honest with you.
Look, Joe is the one that said the question.
No. Yes. We're innocent. Yes.
Ethan told me to ask you.
I never said that.
No.
All pre-production, he said, ask him. Ask him.
I don't have TikTok. I had no idea what you said before. I was like, what? I was so confused. So I'm innocent.
I know, I don't have it either. Jason just showed me.
I'm getting so mad. Who is there? Someone speaking off camera right now?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, Jason.
Yeah, Jason.
All right, well, that's weird and creepy, and shame on you for doing that.
Well, I got to compose myself. I'm sorry. So, Mr. Claiborne, we're going to now get into the meat and potatoes. We just had to get that one out of the way. So, you've been a teacher for 21 years. What got you to want to become a teacher?
Well, it was not teaching initially, or even necessarily human interaction, which I love now. I love teaching, and I love just the relational, you know, aspect of it, getting to know people and just getting to spend time with people and learn about them and things like that. Initially, I was from a tiny school. There were like 35 in my graduating class, and I was a pretty good artist. And in hindsight, my students are way more talented than I was, but I didn't know because I was from such a small school. I was like one of the best artists at my school, you know, that kind of thing. Not the best, but one of the best. And I just wanted to do some form of art. And so my mom pointed out, she said, well, look, if you did graphic design during the summers and taught art during the school year, then you'd be marketable and things like that. So I learned graphic design and I intended to teach art, and that was just going to be my art outlet, not really my human interaction outlet so much, just the art outlet, you know? And so I taught art for a year or two, and they transformed me into a graphic design teacher, which was my major in college. And I just loved it. And so the teaching has certainly grown on me over time. At the beginning, I liked the art part of it. I did not necessarily love the teaching part of it. You know, I getting used to being a manager of, 25 teenagers. I mean, that's a difficult learning curve. You know what it's like, Mr. Joe? Okay, here's the thing. You'll understand this. So, just time out. Here's a little analogy for you. So pretend that you studied marine biology. Just pretend, right?
Yeah.
So you learn about sharks and you learn the dietary needs of sharks and you learn the social habits of sharks and the geographic locations of sharks and all this stuff, all this factual information. And all of a sudden you graduate and you're like, okay, I have to be a marine biologist now. And all of a sudden they push you into a tank of sharks. None of that stuff matters anymore. All that matters right now is how do I not get eaten by these sharks? You know, that's kind of what being a school teacher is like a little bit. You learn all this stuff and then you get thrown in there with a bunch of your teenagers and you just kind of survive. And either you love it and you continue or you don't and you get out of there.
Right. Man, I guess this, I started thinking, I was like, man, if I had to deal with a bunch of sharks, I was always taught that you have to boop them in the nose. And I was like, oh, man, but you can't do that with teenagers, that's for sure.
Then like, they will bite your face off.
You're right.
I'd like to say I take offense to all of this commenting that teenagers are sharks. That's basically what I'm getting out of this.
It's a sharky shark world, my guy.
Well, yeah, I think so. Okay, so here's a fact for you, Ethan. A shark can smell one drop of blood from 2 miles away. That's a scientific fact. Teenagers can do something more impressive. Teenagers can psychologically scar their school teacher until he goes into an emotional shell of himself and finds himself doing research on things like, hey, what can a shark smell?
Oh my gosh.
You have a rebuttal, don't you?
Don't be offended, Ethan.
Yes, I do, actually. Sharks cannot smell a single drop of blood from far away. I actually, Mark Rober did this thing and he did where it was blood, 2 liters of blood in a shark-filled area. Most of the sharks went away from the blood. They went from somewhere else from the blood. So.
Really?
Like urine, yeah.
Huh. Well, shame on you for even knowing that. That's too much information.
I watched Mark Rober. How is that bad?
Mark Rober?
Rober.
Rober. Is Rober. He a marine biologist?
He's sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
I don't know anymore. My brain hurts. My brain hurts, okay?
It's been a day. It's been a long day. It's been a beautiful day, though.
It's been a beautiful day, but I'm a very busy person.
That is fair. But anyway, okay, so you became a teacher, and now we also, based on your TikToks and all the things that we found you as, you also stepped into a comedy, and that, I know, it's crazy. And so one of the things we need you to do is to tell a joke right now. I'm just kidding. No. How did you get into comedy as well, too?
So back in, I was an only child, and I think that was my way of relating to other people, was just through humor. And in college, some funny things just happened to me. And I got asked to tell those stories just over and over and over again. And I got used to storytelling. And as a teacher, I used to do a story of the day. And I could tell that the class liked that more than my just boring teaching. And so over time, I've kind of adapted, and I try to incorporate humor into my teaching. But back then it was more so like, okay, here's the teaching, learn from this, and here's a story, here's something for fun. And so a couple of times I told the classes, I was like, look, I'm going to do story at a coffee shop. If y'all are interested in coming, come for it. No teaching, just a bunch of stories. And they did, and just kept dabbling. And I do remember, like with any other occupation or even hobby, it's very much a craft. I used to think you just stand up and talk. That's it, you know? And I remember some professionals referring to stand-up comedy as a craft. And it almost made me mad. I was like, a craft? You're overthinking things. But they were much better than I was, because they knew little behavioral maneuvers that you could tweak that make things funnier. And doggone it, they were right. And so over time, you know, I'm still learning and growing with teaching and with comedy, but it's very much a craft, just like anything else. You kind of learn some particular little skills and niche things that help out with it. So,
do you both have any questions? I'm gonna let y'all have the floor real quick. Y'all do your thing.
When you were in school, like our age, were you like the class clown or like the funny person in school?
Yes and no. So, okay. In, either fifth or sixth grade, it was a small school, and I was voted for two things. I was voted for, I think, most popular in sixth grade, which that did not last. I did not stay the most popular. And I was also voted for class clown, but the teacher wanted to give each student something. So she took the class clown away from me and gave it to someone else. And that just drove me bananas, you know. And later it turns out that I think the following year, my best friend got class clown, and he was a funnier guy than I was. I used to sit by this guy and just soak up his humor. He was so funny. And so he kind of became the class clown, and I was just kind of his sidekick, you know.
that's really cool. Ethan, do you have any questions?
Ethan,
Ethan's got it all figured out. He knows all the things.
Ethan, are you the class clown?
No, I'm not.
Are you sure?
I take offense. How you just said it just then, I take offense to that.
Are you sure? Ethan, what have you been getting into at school? That's what I want to know.
So, I was almost late to come to this because of Board Game Club. Okay. So for some reason at Board Game Club, everyone wants to go up against me in chess, because last year I was in Board Game Club again. And so originally it was Chess Club. It was supposed to be Chess Club, but the guy that ran it left right before I got into middle school. Right before. And so it became Board Game Club. So ever since then, last year, I went up against a few of my friends in chess. And so I beat them every single time. And so then this year, they're all like, I want a rematch. I'm like, what? They're like, I want a rematch from last year. I'm like, okay. And so I keep beating them or getting stalemate when I am losing horribly, and yet I somehow win. It's just, I'm as talent, I guess.
Well, good job, Ethan.
I don't know. No further comments.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I have to ask for your definition, Mr. Cox. What is being a class clown, or what does that mean to you?
Oh, man, that's a broad, generic cloud to describe. And so, I think depending on each class's culture, it's different things. In hindsight, I heard another stand-up comedian who's much more successful than I am. His name is Tim Hawkins. And if you have never looked him up, he's totally worth looking up. So, so funny. But he says that even like in adulthood, a stand-up comedian is not necessarily like the quote unquote class clown at a party. They're not the ones that are standing up and making, you know, silly, zany gestures and things like that. He says the stand-up comedian is the guy sitting in a corner watching the people doing that and writing it down and then, you know, funneling that later. And so,
yeah,
I mean, there's obviously different like routes and avenues to take humor and to utilize them in different mechanics and stuff. So each class, I think, has its own version of a class clown. At a, you know, I go to a very smart high school. It's Auburn High, I teach at a very smart high school. Auburn High is a academic place, you know, a lot of professors, kids and things like that. And so a class clown from my school might look a little different than from, you know, a different area, just depending, because their humor is typically a pretty smart humor, just given the nature of the town, you know? So,
yeah. Okay. So since you brought up Tim Hawkins, did you ever go on tour with him by any chance?
Not on tour. I have gotten to open. Do you know Tim Hawkins? Are you familiar with him?
I am familiar. I'm familiar with his renditions of how he'll take songs and change it up a little bit. My favorite one was when he took a Beyonce song and talking about his kids too. That was one of my favorite ones. And then he works at Subway and his kids are asking for a new phone.
Right. So I have gotten to open for him a few times. One of my buddies, his name is Johnny W, and he has gone on tour with him, like traveled with him and things like that. And so so much fun. I have heard about him from another comedian. So this is a little through the grapevine, but it sounds pretty plausible. I've heard that when he started, he did kind of longer songs, and he realized that, you know, he could get in and be funny quickly and get out and start telling more jokes, and that his songwriting started to shrink and his jokes started to grow, kind of thing. But anyway, he's one of those guys. If I said the same words as he said, it would just be a lot less funny. You know, like you have to be Tim Hawkins to say Tim Hawkins things in a Tim Hawkins funny kind of way. I don't know if that makes sense. So like if you read his jokes, 1 out of 3 might be funny, but if he says his jokes, 1,000% of the time, it's going to be hilarious.
That's so true. Like it's, there are so many times where, so I'm married and my wife will try and tell a story on me, or not tell a story, but more or less just like tell a story that I've done something. And when she explains it, it doesn't come off as funny. It's like more of like, man, was it really that bad that I do something that I shouldn't have done? But that compared to when I tell the story, I'm like, oh, this is really funny. Like me telling a really weird story in school and finding out later on that there was a hidden meaning to it and it shouldn't have been said. And I just embarrassed myself. It's one of those moments.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you win some, you lose some, right?
That's pretty much what it is.
Are there any differences between comedy and teaching?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Goodness gracious. But they can go hand in hand, I think, at times. So teaching, one thing that's difficult is depending on the class, there's just a lot of people in the class that aren't necessarily interested in my particular field or any teacher's particular field, right? So like, let's say a math teacher has 25 students and only 5 are interested in math. I mean, that's a difficult challenge to try to get them to do something and preferably enjoy doing that thing, you know? Comedy, thankfully, people come to a comedy show because they want to laugh most of the time. Most people are in it. They're invested. They want to be there and they want to do what I want them to do, which is laugh, you know. And with a classroom, it's been a lot better recently. But at the beginning of my career, I mean, I just got the whole spectrum of humanity, which is, you know, is great. But the thing is, a lot of those students have another interest that has nothing to do with my class. And so it's difficult. Recently, in the past handful of years, we've started recruiting from the junior high school, and it's been wonderful. So like every ninth grader and eighth grader, at least, are exposed to each of the career tech classes. And so they'll learn just a snippet about, you know, what would it be like to take the aqua science class or the engineering class. All these are, we have a culinary class, we have a computer science class and things like that. And every single eighth and ninth grader gets this exposure just to an extent. And so a part of the recruiting is to say, you know, if this, what I'm showing you is something that you enjoy doing, like you like doing this kind of stuff, then you might want to consider taking my class. If this is not something that you enjoy doing, please do not sign up for this class because it's an elective class. And so, and that seems to have helped a lot. And my spectrum of humanity seems to be the spectrum more so that is interested in my field. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Yes, it makes sense.
So I have a question. Is it hard balancing teaching and comedy in your life?
If I were a very successful comedian, it absolutely would be. But I have, you know, a decent amount of shows, and it's not that difficult. So, you know, if my phone were just ringing off the hook all the time, that would be an issue. Well, I say that. I do decline a good bit of shows just that either won't work out schedule wise or whatever. So no, it's really not an issue because I don't have to take any shows I don't want to take, you know? So.
No, that makes sense. I do want to explain a part of one of the things that we do here at the Boys and Girls Club. So about a year ago, I think so. Yes. About a year ago, I'm sorry. Do you want to
last September, like, last September, not this one. Last year, September.
Yeah, last year, September.
That's when the first one was.
Yes, the first. Do you want to take it over? I'm going to let you do it.
Okay, so he does this thing where it's called Mr. Joe's Career Night. He has guest speakers and he explores like different careers. And so in September, he also does little tidbits in it and like little fun things and activities. And the last Joe show, in fact, yours truly got slimed by the interview, the whole thing. And so the very first one, my dad, we did this whole Jeopardy thing and my dad hosted it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so Mr. Joe's Career Night is an event where we get to invite guests to come on the show and I get the chance to interview them. And we also have, before that portion of the show happens, we have a game show called Full Steam. Well, actually, it was Full Steam Ahead a long time ago before we changed it to Working Hard, Hardly Working. And we would do CTE games where we would try to take things from those careers based on the person that we got to talk with. And we would make it a game and try to have something for the kids to laugh at, enjoy, get really excited and engaged. And so, I believe the question Ethan's getting ready to ask is, what are those words? I don't want to take the words out of your mouth, Ethan.
So what do you mean? Like, so I was going to say, I got slammed by the interview. Yours truly got slammed by the interview.
No, the other question.
Oh, what other question?
You know the other question.
What other question? You say it.
You can say it. It's fine.
You say it.
Ethan, you can ask the question.
So what would it take to get you on the show?
So up into like a live thing?
Yeah, this is a live show.
Oh, I see. So like, okay, how far are we apart? How?
Technically,
I don't know how
technically
far.
3 hours.
Are you in Antioch, Tennessee? Is that right?
Yeah, 3.5 or 5 if you want to include the Atlanta traffic, but it's technically 3.5.
Oh, that's not bad at all. So I mean, I can give you, I have like a little price list and things like that, just because I go away from my family. And so I have to make it worthwhile, you know. But yeah, sure. We can talk about that after the show. And I mean, it would be such an honor to do it. I don't want to put you guys on the spot with my price list right now and stuff like that. But for close, it's really not that bad. When I have to get on an airplane and spend a couple of days flying away from my family, that's one price. To drive 3.5 hours, that's a totally other price. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense.
So yeah, we'll have to chat after the show is over.
Oh, for sure. Okay, so now we've talked about TikTok a few times on this show right now. How in the world did you get on TikTok? I know it's, to me, sometimes it's foreign, and then out of nowhere, getting on TikTok, it's a whole new world, and the marketing and the exposure and the content that you create. Tell us about that.
That's a great question. My experience, I don't think is going to be like the paradigm for other people to follow, because it doesn't even hardly make sense. You know what I mean? Right. And so, okay, I do not have a TikTok account to this day, and I may never get one. But this one student, she was like a popular, very well-liked. She was like in this huge school. She was the student council president and, you know, things like that. And so ambassador for our school and stuff like that. So she was in a couple of my classes, and she said, "Mr. Cox, one day, there's a trend going on TikTok. I'm going to describe my outfit and you're going to describe your outfit, and we're just going to put it on TikTok." And we thought, you know, there'll be a couple hundred people that get a chuckle out of it, her friends or whatever, you know?
Right.
So a couple weeks go by and I forgot we had that conversation. She just told me we're going to do this someday. So one day she comes up with her phone. She says, "Mr. Cox, you ready to do the thing we talked about?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She said, "Remember, we're going to describe our outfits." And I was like, "Sure." So we had no preparation, not none, you know, because we didn't think it was going to do anything. So she gets up there and she describes her outfit, and she, you know, she's Miss like high school popular, and she knows how to do it. You know, I'm Mr. Middle-aged dad fumbling comedian. And so I did not do it well. I'm literally that I did not plan this, but I happened to be wearing an outfit that my mom bought me at a thrift store that she picked off the mannequin. I'm not making that up. So we do the thing, and I almost forgot that it happened, because our class, we make projects a lot, and we talk a lot while they're making the projects, and we talk about kind of silly things. So that was just like a blip on our radar, you know, like that was not anything that really stood out that much for my class. We did it between classes. So about 3 days later, almost having forgotten this, I was in an airport about to fly out to do a show. And one of my other students, she sent me an email through our school email, and she said, "Mr. Cox, I don't know if you realize this, but you're famous now." I didn't know what she was talking about. And so I was like, "What do you mean?" She said, "You're OOTD." And I said, "What is an OOTD?" And it means outfit of the day, if you're, you know, you don't know. So anyway, it just got this huge response. And then we thought, well, obviously, if this is a wave, let's try to ride it and just see what happens. So we kept making them, and they just kept exploding. And so Wesley Ann, that girl, she graduated. And then a couple other people wanted to kind of take over that slot, and they started using their account. And it got even bigger. It's been the craziest thing. I cannot, like, brag about it, because it's not like, oh, look at this like successful, good looking person who knows what he's doing. Like, obviously, if you've seen one of them, you know that I'm not that smart or talented. It's just been a fun, crazy little ride. So
that's incredible. So which one would have to be one of your favorite TikToks that you've done?
One of them that I liked was not necessarily one of the most popular ones, which that's another thing. Like, some of the ones that we think will get X amount of traction get like Y amount of traction, and vice versa. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like one of the ones I like talking about homecoming or prom outfits on a budget. And those have gotten like decent traction, but not as big as some of the others. One of the most surprising ones was when another student, she just wanted to make a kind of quick one day. And so I talked about, I don't know if you've seen the one about clouds, explaining how we take clouds for granted. Have you seen that one yet?
The clouds one? Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's my favorite.
That one just went bonkers on the internet. And so then someone else, like an outsider that we've never met, I don't know where they're from, they took that and they edited it together and made me look like even more feral than I already am. And then that one got traction all over TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that. We don't even know who to, he didn't like credit us or me or anything. He just like put it out. Look how insane this man is. And he took the most like insane clips from that. And he just like crammed them all together and made it kind of like black and white and stuff like that, you know? And so I look like a rambling lunatic. And so anyway, I don't know. We're planning to do a few more soon that I'm actually quite excited about. But we got maybe a week and a half, Lord willing, before we have the opportunity to get it. We're hoping to record like, you know, a handful and then just kind of release them over time. We have no idea if this ride is going to last forever. Like it may be that all the ones we make in the future, just like, you know, crash and burn. We don't know, but it's been a fun little ride regardless. So.
Honestly, that's incredible. Because I really just want more understanding and inspiration from the cloud video. What was it that brought up the clouds and all this stuff that really set you off?
Well, I think by that point, after they started going viral, I started thinking then like, okay, what's another funny topic? And so I think I started thinking about clouds intentionally for a TikTok. And that's not how the thing got started. But, you know, this, we did the clouds one about a year and a half after we had made several others that had kind of gone viral. And so by that point, I think I was thinking this might get some traction. I thought it would get some. I had no idea the volume that it would get though. You know, I thought it'd be kind of popular, but not that popular. Regardless, right. I don't know. The TikTok thing has been a lot of fun. I certainly don't want to encourage teenagers to like pursue that, you know, too heavily. It's not ultimately satisfying. Like it's fun. It, don't get me wrong. I'm glad we've done it and I've enjoyed it. But you know, if you get like 900,000 views, you just want to get to 1 million. You get to 1 million views, you just want to get to 2 million. If you get to, you know, 10 million views, you just want to redo it again. It's not something that I would ever encourage my kids to like pursue as an ultimate dream. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a fun cherry on top of a cake kind of thing. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I do. I keep looking at my guest faces over here, and I think they need an understanding on this video and like what you were talking about in with clouds.
About clouds?
Yes, about the clouds.
Okay, so Ethan, Emma, is it Ethan and Emma? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and it's Ethan, correct?
Yes.
So, okay. Hypothetically, this is all fictitious. Just imagine that, okay, Ethan, you pretend like you're from planet Earth, which hopefully you don't have to pretend. Hopefully you're from here. Okay, pretend like that Emma is from another world exactly like ours, except they don't have clouds. Okay, are you with me? You with me, Ethan?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're from planet Earth. Emma is from another world exactly like ours, except there's no clouds, right? So now imagine you try to talk to her, to explain to her what clouds are. You cannot do it without sounding like a raging maniac. Okay, so you would have to tell her, like, where I come from, there are big floating devices, kind of like giant cotton balls that float in the sky. And she'd have natural questions, like they just, what hangs them up there? Nothing. They're just there. Do they fly? No.
It's water vapor.
Just listen to the story, man. Let's listen.
What did you just say, Ethan, to me?
I said it's water vapor.
Okay, fine. No, it isn't. That's the thing. It's not wire paper. That's bad science, you fraud. So, okay. There's so many other things like that. You say, well, what are they shaped like? They're shaped like everything. What are you even talking about? They're shaped like anything. They can be shaped like this or that. What color are they? Typically white, but sometimes there are other colors like gray, and sometimes they shoot all the other colors out of them, and sometimes they drop water from above. Just a little water, a little bit of water? No, tons, buckets of water down. And sometimes they shoot electricity out of them and sometimes set things on fire. This is real. This is what they really do. Sometimes they spin really fast, faster than any washing machine. And sometimes they pick up things like cows. They have picked up cows before. Respond, please.
Mind blown.
Oh my God. I think it's also a different experience because
now that we're talking about it. I told you that guy made me look like a maniac by editing. I realize now that he did not have to edit very much to make me look like a maniac.
I was looking at it because I see that you're outside and it's getting a little darker at the time. So it's like your screen is like a little bit more intense on the lighting for you. And so it's like clouds.
I've laughed so much I've coughed.
Oh my. Oh good. All right, composure. Professionals. Okay, so do you guys have any other questions? Before I cause myself to do a bunch more laughing. That's not a word. I learned that in school. Mr. Claiborne, we had such an amazing time getting to talk with you and just getting to hear about some of the things that you're getting to do, and how you're also just really just changing the game when it comes to teaching and the comedy world too. Thank you so much for you taking the time and just talking with us. We really appreciate it.
It was such an honor. Thank you for even thinking about me. I really appreciate it. I really do. Yeah, it was great to talk to you guys. You're a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm Mr. Like Joe.
I would like to say something. So you're from Alabama, right? You're in Alabama?
Yes.
Sweet home Alabama.
I'm an Auburn fan, so be careful. Tread carefully.
Anyway, folks, I'm Mr. Joe. We have Emma, Ethan, and Mr. Claiborne. And this is Youth Force Chronicles. We'll tune in next time.
Are you ready?